Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4:18, talking this morning about fearful conditions around the world. There's all kinds of fearful conditions, and how can we respond? 1 John 4 and verse 18. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. 1 John 4, 18. There is no fear in what? In love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So this world is fearful of all kinds of things. There's the coronavirus going around and resurging. At least they tell us it is. There's wars and rumors of wars. We have China building up. We have huge clouds of flying insects over Great Britain that shows up so big as if it's rain, and it's not raining. What is happening? Well, this verse here tells us about fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, let's look at number one if you're taking the notes. Fearful of sickness and pestilence. Fearful of sickness and pestilence. And let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And we'll begin in verse 58. But right now, people are afraid of the coronavirus, and it's been months now. And pestilence. I said fearful of sickness and pestilence. A pestilence, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, is a contagious or infectious epidemic disease. Well, what is the cure for the fearfulness of all of that? Well, Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. The Bible says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, which is what? The Lord thy God. So God says, Brother Tim, I'm like you, I'm so used to that now. I got to get that backpack back on. But it says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, then we're going to see these sicknesses coming. So, and it says to fear thy glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. The problem across this world is there is no fear of God. There's no fear of his holy name. Most of the time, they're just using that name as a swear word, as a curse word, trying to curse someone or blaspheme someone or show someone their wrath. And that is a problem. That's what I want you to see in this passage. The problem starts that there's no fear of his, as it says there, his glorious and fearful name. This week, I could hardly believe it. A decision made by the Supreme Court. I just could hardly believe it. There was a church in Nevada that was trying to go up through the court system because in Nevada, the casinos can operate now at 50% capacity, but churches in Nevada cannot gather together more than 50. Well, that's fine if the building holds 100, and so, you know, 50, then it'd be like all the other businesses. But, and I don't know the size of the church that was bringing this petition through the court system, but what if there's a church that holds 1,000? Well, they can't meet with 500. They can still only meet with 50. So the court was just, or the church was just bringing it to before the court saying, listen, there's a double standard here. The casinos can operate at 50% capacity, but churches can't. And I would have thought that would have been a no-brainer. And the Supreme Court would have said, you're right. That is showing discrimination. But I couldn't hardly believe it. The Supreme Court went against that church and said, no, it's okay that churches can only have 50 or less, but that casinos can have more. And one of the Supreme Court justices wrote, you know, there's really nothing in the Constitution or the amendments that give a casino the right to come and gamble. Nothing. But there is churches. But that's why I'm just saying, you know, we've got people in the highest places of our land that now that showed a clear discrimination. I was dumbfounded. I thought that one was so easy, that would be decided right, but it was not. So, well, let's go to verse 59. So if we don't fear his glorious and fearful name, then verse 59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now, we don't know what all those diseases were. I mean, they had some very healthy food. They had melons and garlic and leeks and onions and all kinds of healthy food. But there were some diseases there that the children of Israel were fearful of. They were afraid. Verse 61, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be what? Destroyed. So they're talking about a vaccine for coronavirus. They're talking about this and that drug that helped the effects of it or help you not to get it. But where in the mainstream media at least, where are we hearing the fact that we need to fear the glorious name and fearful name, the Lord thy God? Where are we seeing that? Where are we seeing a great revival like in Nineveh, where from the highest to the lowest, they are in sackcloth and ashes and fasting and praying? Notice with me in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13. 2 Chronicles 7, 13. It's just like man to try to find a natural reason for every problem instead of a spiritual one. In 2 Chronicles 7, 13, the Bible says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send what? Pestilence. And by definition, coronavirus fits that. If I send pestilence among my people. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what we need. We need spiritual healing. We need a spiritual healing to help this physical pestilence that we're facing. But where is the call? You know, This coronavirus, I mean, who would have ever dreamed that a sickness starting in Wuhan, China, would be able to shut down almost every church in the whole world? It's not just here, it's around the whole world. Who would have thought that, you know? So in that regard, I don't know all the reasons God allowed this sickness. I don't know exactly how it was formed, whether it was artificially manipulated to come up with this virus. I don't know all of those details about it. I have no idea. But I do know that Satan delights in what the coronavirus has done, has brought forth. It's shut down almost every church in the world, in the whole world. Let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and people need to hear. I mean, at the same time, so churches have gone to, you know, multimedia, internet, live streaming, and so on, to try to still get the message out. But if you use one of those freebie media platforms, they'll probably shut you down. They don't want to hear that sodomy is a vile sin. They don't want to hear that abortion is the murder of innocent babies. So how are you going to get your message out if all the electronic media shut you down? In Psalm 91, verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is what? My refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome," what? Pestilence. There we go again. We need God's help. And you know, when lost, rebellious sinners rebel against God and bring pestilences upon a people or other diseases or problems, it affects everyone, doesn't it? You know, when God brings a drought, when God brings a famine because of sin, it even affects the prophet, didn't it? I mean, he had to hide by the river and be fed by ravens and drink of the brook until that dried up. And then a widow woman had to feed him. So sin and its effects affects everyone, doesn't it? Every one of us. And so we need verse 1 there to seek God. We need his help, verse 11. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." So we need God's help. But there are a lot of people that are very fearful of the coronavirus. And other people think it's just a hoax. I mean, even though people have actually died from it, other people just think it's, you know, it's a total hoax. Well, it appears like it is a real sickness, but you look at places like Florida where they were reporting like a 90-some percent positive rate, people were getting it, and then you hear that, oh, well, they weren't reporting the negative ones, only the positive. Well, so it really isn't a 90-some percent, it's like a 9%. I mean, so you do have to wonder about all these figures that are being reported. You just wonder how far off they really are and what is the real agenda. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but God knows. So we need to flee to the Lord. And number two, people are fearful of evil people and their power. So people are afraid of sickness and pestilence. Number two, people are fearful of evil people and their power. You got people afraid of the rioters? I mean, the rioters are supposed to be rising up and protecting black lives, but it sure is strange how they're shooting some of them. It just shows you what's really going on. But so people are afraid of the rioters. And on the other hand, people are afraid of the deep state. People are afraid of people that are high in government and are so corrupt. So, well, where do we all fit into this? Let's go to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. "For sure we should not be fearful, but we need some scripture to guide us, to help us. Because it'd be easy to be fearful. It seems like we have enemies on both sides, it seems." Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Isaiah 35, 4. "Say to them that are of what? A fearful heart." What do we say? Be strong. Then what do we say? Fear not. Why? Behold, who? Your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come and what? Save you. So our hope is in the Lord. I don't know how many years or decades ago we had a U.S. representative of our area, and he was a conservative. And so I wrote to him, I said his name, and I said, "Listen," I said, "I go into the store and more things are made in China." And I said, "Listen, China is still persecuting Christians, torturing them, killing them, closing down churches. Please, in your position, please put it across that we shouldn't be trading, we shouldn't be buying things from China because of what they're doing to Christians. He wrote me back a letter, and he said, listen, China, and this was quite a few years ago, he said, listen, China is just getting accepted on the world scene and getting, you know, buying and selling and trading and so on. And he said, listen, China will straighten up when they see all the advantage that they have of cooperating with the world, buying and selling and trading. And I thought, sir, you are so deceived. And the sad thing is he seemed to be a good conservative leader on so many things, but he was so blinded. When has ever the abundance of money caused someone to be a better person and to forsake evil? I'm not saying that every millionaire is corrupt. There are millionaires that are good and godly, so please don't misunderstand, but, well, I can't say it any better than the scripture. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's just let God speak it out. I'll mess it up one way or the other, but in whatever my take on it is, but God's take will be correct. In 1 Timothy 6:10, the Bible says, for the love of money is what? The root of all evil. So as he's telling me, listen, when China sees how much money they can make on the world economy, then they'll straighten up. Well, no. It's just the more money they made, the more power they got. And the cheaper they made things, more countries started trading with them. They haven't straightened up at all. In fact, right now, it's tougher for Christians. As I mentioned a while ago, let's go back in time before this coronavirus come out late last summer or early fall in September. They had the military world games, and last summer in China, in Wuhan, the leaders came through there and demanded that all crosses be pulled down. Their leader, Leader Chai, whatever his name is, they said he hates crosses. So we don't want to see any cross in this city when he comes here, you know, to view these military games. Is it any wonder that it started there? You know, whether it escaped by mistake out of their secret lab, I don't know. But it's just, I have no doubt that it was a judgment fell there because of their trying to rid the cross and Christ. So what do we do? I mean, we have the evil rioters and we have the evil in high places. Well, we fear God. That's what we do. Notice in Psalm 2, in Psalm chapter 2, in verse 1. Now, we never see Jesus going around telling jokes, that type of stories. And it's very rare there's a mention made of God laughing. And this might seem strange, but let's look at Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The who? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the who? The rulers take counsel together against who? The Lord, and against who? His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What are they talking about? God's word, God's law. Let us break, you know, the world looks at the Bible as bands, as shackles. They don't realize the freedom there is in Christ. You know, they think drinking alcohol is freedom. What is it really? It's bondage. They think tobacco products are freedom. They're bondage. And it's that way with every sin. The world always sees it the opposite. Every sin they look as freeing and as exhilarating. And what it really is shackles. It's handcuffs around him. But anyway, so they're against the Lord, against his anointed. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I mean, can you imagine God laughing, just uncontrollably laughing? You think, did I read that right? Is that a scribal error? What do you mean? These people are shaking their fists at God and his people, and God is laughing in heaven? Why? Well, it's like when we moved to Chattanooga, I saw this. I had to go to this office and to see about some housing and some employment. And there was this little boy, I don't know, I'll guess him at maybe 8 years old. Maybe he's more like six, I don't know. But his dad was really muscular. And his dad is sitting down. The little boy is sitting right in front of him, punching daddy in his belly. Normally that wouldn't be real respectful to do, I wouldn't think, but and the daddy is just laughing. And the little boy is putting his all into it. And I'm thinking, I didn't know this guy from Adam, and I'm thinking, who is this guy? And why is he letting his boy use him as a punching bag? Well, I found out later that that man was just coming to Bible school like I was, and he was a champion weightlifter, and I saw him bend an iron bar. I mean, he was big, and he was like all muscle. And so when his little boy was punching his stomach, now I knew why he was laughing. And it's the same way. We have God Almighty in heaven, and these puny little people that think they're important because they were elected to some position, and they are, as it were, punching at God and his people. And God is laughing in heaven, verse 4. He's in derision. It's like, you're what? I mean, can you imagine being on an aircraft carrier and a terrorist is on the dock, the pier, and he has a .22 rifle and he's firing at your aircraft carrier. He hates you. He wants to sink the boat. And those puny little .22 bullets are just bouncing off the hull, probably not even making a dent in it. And you're on the aircraft carrier just laughing. Like, you're trying to sink this ship? You are crazy, man. Well, that's the way God looks at it. You know, we've got to get in the right perspective. So what do? Well, we pray for these leaders. Verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye what? Judges. Ooh, that really applies to us this week. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve who? The Lord with fear. Not the casinos. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in who? In him, in the Lord. They may have one of the highest positions in the land. I mean, even when there's a conflict between the president and the House or the Senate, often it ends up at the Supreme Court. So you could say, really, they have the most power in the end. And they walk in there in their robes. But I tell you something, when they make a decision against God, they have a fearful day coming, a fearful day. Look at Isaiah 51. So we as Christians, we just must be in the Word, because it'd be so easy to get so frustrated and maybe in the flesh so angry, but we must not do that. Isaiah 51:12. God says, I am he that what? Comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of what? A man. A man that what? Shall die. And of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass. And forgettest who? The Lord thy maker. So why should we be afraid of a man that's going to die, like grass is going to wither. When in fact the Lord, our Maker, verse 13, is still alive and well, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? You know, if someone had a gun pointed at you, you probably would be natural to be fearful. But you know what? Our lives are not in the hands of someone who's pointing a gun at us. Our lives are still in God's hand, because he could stop that beating heart in a second before he could ever pull the trigger. Or he could cause that gun to jam. Or if he wanted, he could cause the bullet to just bounce off. Or as we saw not too many weeks ago, that man who was fighting in one of the wars, it was World War I, but somebody shot at him and the bullet lodged in the Bible he had in his pocket and did not go all the way through. So, you know, we may be fearful of someone that appears like they're going to kill us. Well, if the Lord allows our death, then we'll be with him. That's our promotion. But we should be fearing God more than that person. So, and he, verse 12, is the one that comforts us. Other people have fears. Number three, fearful of weather and storms. The disciples were, notice in Matthew 8. The Lord protected his building here just a couple weeks ago there. The one tree landing just, I forget now how many feet, but not many feet from that back corner. And the light pole out in the parking lot, just a matter of a few feet, 6 or 9 feet from that. But so the Lord can protect in the storm, no doubt about it. But Matthew 8:24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, what? Save us, we perish. They thought, this is it. It's it. It's like Luke when he was traveling with Paul going to Rome. He said, all hope was lost. Luke thought, this is it. We're gone. Lord, save us. Verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye so fearful, ye of little faith? You back up to verse 24. The ship was covered with the waves. And he's saying, why are you so fearful? You know, it's like there's a tornado coming. You look out the window and it's 100 yards coming right at you. And you're petrified and someone says, why are you fearful? And they're just as calm as can be. What's the matter? What's wrong with you? The waves were covering the ship. Jesus says in verse 26, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was what? A great calm. So, but some people are petrified of storms. But we just go to our Father. And then number four, fearful of wars and commotions. Where is our faith, and what do we do when? What if China attacks? Do we really have the technological edge still, when all of our technology we sent over there? I remember the first computer that the church bought. It said right on the box, "This item is not eligible for export." And that computer, compared to now, was pathetically slow. But in that day, our country had some wisdom and said, this computer is too valuable to export. In other words, if it gets in the hands of our enemies, this could be problems. Well, where are they all made now? China. So actually, at the last I read, which has been weeks, months ago, but China supposedly has the fastest computer now. Well, is that any wonder? If they're all made over there? It seems kind of foolish to me, doesn't it? So wars and rumors of wars. What happens if we do get into a conflict with China? Well, I don't think it's going to be any pushover like with Iraq or some of these other wars we've done at all. It's going to be vicious. It's probably going to be more like World War II, where actually Germany was ahead of us in many ways, and maybe even Japan. And it was only by God's grace that we don't speak Japanese today or German. Only by God's grace. Many, many miraculous things in that war, both wars at the same time. So what's the issue? We got to look at who's going to be around in the end. Well, one person we know is going to be around in, and that's God. Let's look at Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 8. So we don't have to be fearful. We know who is going to win the battle ultimately. Revelation 1, 8. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the what? The beginning and what? The ending. He's going to be here in the end. Will America be here in the end? I can't guarantee that. We're a wicked nation. Will China be here in the end? Can't guarantee that. Will Russia? Well, we see a lot in prophecy about nations coming against Israel, but one sure, Jesus, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So because of that, look at Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 9. Because of that, we don't have to be fearful about wars. Does that mean we will not face a war? No, it might be like World War II. We may be in the midst. I mean, we may have China on one side and Russia on the other coming at us. I don't know. Luke 21 and verse 9. It says, but when ye shall hear of what? Wars and commotions. And then what does it say? Be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. So we don't have to be terrified. We don't have to be fearful because we know that God foretold these things were coming. So he's got it in control. Notice in Isaiah 8 and verse 12. So let's not try to align ourselves with the ungodly. We don't need them. Who we need is God. Isaiah 8:12. Say ye not what? A confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. So what were they saying? This has nothing to do with the Confederate flag, by the way. So a confederacy was, they're saying, listen, we've got to be confederate. We've got to align ourselves with this other nation. Well, what if they're a wicked nation? We don't need them. We need God. Verse 13. Sanctify who? The Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your what? Fear, and let him be your what? Dread. We've got to get it straight here. Number five, some people are fearful of eternal judgment, and they should be if they're not saved. They should be fearful of eternal judgment. Let's look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. People in this world are fearful of all these things, and a lot of these things are fearful in the flesh, but they don't have to be when we know the Lord. Revelation 21:8. But the who? The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which what? Burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is interesting, all these people groups here are going to find themselves in the lake of fire. But what's interesting is the first group is what? The fearful. Just think of how many husbands will not get saved because they're afraid of what their wives will say. Just think of how many wives will not get saved because they're afraid of what their husbands will say if they do. Just think of how many men will not get saved because they're afraid of what the guys at work will say, scoffing, mocking, persecuting them. Just think of all the young people that will not get saved because of the friends they're hanging with would ridicule them if they did. Just think of how many people in the world know they should get saved, but they're too afraid to take that step because they're afraid of the people around them. And so there you find them. Number one, in the lake of fire. If God put those people groups up there like they do on food boxes, you know, like, you know, what's the first in the cake mix? Flour, you know? So overall, are there going to be more people in the lake of fire? The reason above all reasons that people end up in hell is because they were fearful, because they were afraid of people instead of eternal judgment and getting right with God. Boy, that's sad, isn't it? Very sad. Let's look at Acts 16. Acts 16. Well, people don't have to be in that state, as we know. There was a jailer many years ago that was in that position. But in Acts 16, let's start in verse 29. Acts 16, 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, what? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." The man had almost left his wife a widow and his children fatherless. And Paul reminds him, listen, it's not just you getting saved. You need to be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about your wife? What about your children? They need to be saved. And notice with me in John 14, verse 1. There are many people that are troubled about the question, but as one man answered the guys yesterday as we were going out, he simply said, "I don't like to think about that," or "I try not to think about that." Well, that's a foolish statement, isn't it? Yeah. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How would you like to be stuck without a ride? How would you like to be stuck way out in the middle of nowhere with no ride? How would you like to be stuck on earth when the rapture happens and have to go through the terrible tribulation period? How would you like to be stuck in an eternal lake of fire? It doesn't have to be that way. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Imagine going through life, and there was a man that seemed to keep coming to your attention, but you didn't know who he was. And every time you caught eye to eye, he smiled at you. But you never introduced yourself to him. You never sought him out. But it seems like so many times when you were in trouble, it seems like that same man was always there. But you never went and asked him for any help. Even though he seemed friendly, he seemed like he was smiling, but you never went and asked him. And then years later, you found out that that man was a very wealthy individual, and that every time you were having trouble, he could have easily helped you and bailed you out. Well, my friends, that's God the Father. He owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. This world is his. He's the one that created it. And he's longing for people to come to him. For God so loved the world. And let's go back to our original verse. What In 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. What will help people in all of this fearfulness? There are a lot of fearful things, but what will help? 1 John 4:18. There is what? No fear in love, but perfect love what? Casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, God, because why? He first loved us. He's the one that smiled at us. He wanted to show us favor. But so many people scorn him and deride him. May the Lord help us. We're living in a world that's filled with fear of all that's happening. But as Christians, we can be steadfast. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray if there should be any here today that have never been saved, I pray they'd realize your great love for them, that you sent Jesus to this earth of a miraculous virgin birth to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, and then to rise victorious from the grave, proving that his blood was enough to wash away our sins. Lord, I pray if there should be any here today that have never been saved, help them today to repent and to receive Christ. I pray that you'd help us as Christians. Lord, we are living in a fearful day, and this would be a wonderful time to shine as being stable and not fearful. And Lord, I pray that it would stir their curiosity. What makes you so peaceful in such a troubled day? We pray that many would come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.